You might already know that Tom Benson Chevrolet is celebrating 55 years in the automotive business, but you probably don't know that they're also avid hunters and sportsmen, owning and operating the award-winning Benson Farm and Ranch that has produced some of the most outstanding trophy bucks in South Texas. Come by Tom Benson Chevrolet and check out the great deals on certified pre-owned 2010 Silverado pickups, Suburbans, and Tahoes with low mileage and extended warranties. So stop by Tom Benson Chevrolet. They're over at 9400 San Pedro, just two blocks north of Loop 410, and tell them Cable Smith sent you.
Listen up, y'all. The Wild Hog Explosion is coming to Bandera, Texas this March 18th and 19th. Festivities include the Wild Hog Catch, DTBA Barbecue Cook-Off, Bicycle Rodeo, Arts and Crafts, and of course, the All-Bike Rally at Poker Run. It's the one-of-a-kind Wild Hog Explosion, March 18th and 19th in Bandera. Visit wildhogexplosion.com or call 803-796-4447 today. It's Wild Hog Explosion. It's the event you don't want to miss. Check out the Wild Hog Explosion at wildhogexplosion.com.
Double barrel shotgun, watching my dog run along an old fence row. Setting the drag for the largemouth bass bending my fishing pole. Unloading my truck before the sun comes up where the river and the critters run free. You know it's a given as long as I'm living, I'm always gonna be on the water and in the woods. One in the crosshairs, one on the hood.
All right, y'all. Good morning, Texas. That is the great Chuck Allen Floyd getting the ball rolling for us this morning. On the Water and in the Woods, the name of that one. I'm Cable Smith, and you are tuned in to the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Thanks for joining us on this fine Texas morning. I've got a great show lined up for you. First, we'll visit with Dr. Dale Rollins from the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch. This was supposed to be a great year for Texas quail hunters, and it flat didn't happen. And Dr. Rollins will shed some light on why quail numbers haven't rebounded, as well as the possibility of disease being a major factor in this phenomenon. We'll then check in with my friend Chris Williams of GoHogDog.com as we cover everything having to do with the exciting sport of hog dogging. And if you didn't know already, I was able to join Chris for my first ever hog dogging experience last weekend. So we'll get into all the details of our hunt as well. Lastly, our old friend Major Cody Robertson of Army Bass Anglers drops in to update us on all the cool stuff they've got going on, including a funny story from the Classic a couple weekends ago, where Army Bass Anglers had the honor of leading the ceremonial launch to open up the world's greatest fishing tournament. So cool stuff going on with Army Bass Anglers. Some other things here real quick. Be sure to go to my website at LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com to vote on our February Photo of the Month contest. Voting wraps up on Tuesday, and the winner gets a CHL course, compliments of TFTA Handgun Training Academy. Also, send me your photos. Our March contest is underway. I'm taking submissions. The winner gets a $300 Sport Dog Basic e-collar from Tritronics, so a great prize for our March winner. Email your picks to CableWaco@yahoo.com. Let's see here, a couple of dog-related things. The wife and I's 7-month-old chocolate female, Belle, is training with Tioga Retrievers, and in a couple weeks, our very own Angie Becker drops in for the first installment of our series, The Progression of a Gun Dog, so we're looking forward to that. Also, there is a free seminar on Pytherium infection in canines. Renowned veterinarian Bob Glass is hosting the seminar at Cabela's in Arlington. It begins at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. And by the way, attendees get a free coupon to have their dog tested for Pythium. So be sure to check that out. Well, it seems like we're always in a time crunch here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. So without further delay, let's talk Texas quail. And it is my pleasure to welcome the authority on the subject back to the show, Dr. Dale Rollins. Thanks for joining us this morning.
It's good to be with you.
Doctor, how are things out there in your neck of the woods?
Well, the quail season ended, of course, last Sunday, and it went out like a lion because we had, as you probably read about, all kinds of winds and all kinds of wildfires out here across West Texas. So we're in desperate need of some rain.
My gosh, y'all sure do. Well, like you mentioned, the Texas quail season wrapped up last weekend, and, you know, it was supposed to be a banner year by all accounts, but the sentiment around the state seemed to be one of they built it, but they never came.
Well, there's an old saying, Cable, it's permeated through the coffee shops of Texas forever, and that is, if it rains, we'll have quail. If it don't, we won't.
Mm-hmm.
We did, but we don't. If I was to look at the rainfall from about September of 09 through about September of 2010, it was just near perfect for a rebound in quail situation. So typically we have, anytime we have a good cotton crop out here, we have a good broomweed cover, we typically have good quail populations. And so when we had a record cotton crop and good broomweed and again, a good summer rainfall, and everybody was excited going into Labor Day, but come opening day, basically it was shattered dreams, let's say. Quail counts, quail abundance, hunting reports were way off, and we're at, really at a loss to explain, I think, just exactly what happened.
Well, it is a mystery, and one that I'm sure you're no doubt going to try to get to the bottom of, and that's why I wanted to visit with you this morning, as I was reading through the latest edition of Lone Star Outdoor News, and there was an article in there covering the Texas quail season and the low numbers of birds, and in that article, you said there might be something to the hypothesis that disease could be a major player here.
I would precede that discussion, though, with the fact that, again, we know quail habitat is the primary thing dictating quail abundance. And as we talk about quail decline, I think there may be two different situations happening here. If we look at Dallas eastward back to the Atlantic coast, we know what's happened to the bobwhite quail in those situations. There's been fairly drastic changes, unfriendly to quail, Bermuda grass, pine plantations, and we can document those and readily accept those. But as you move west of Fort Worth and you get out to places like Albany and Ashburmont and Roby, different places like that, you're really strained to think what habitat change has occurred here over the last 25 years, and especially since 2005-2006 season, because we had a good quail population in 2005. Quail populations are more or less cyclic on about a five-year cycle here in West Texas, typically coordinated with El Nino climate regimes. We had that El Nino season. We were due timing-wise for, again, a good quail crop, but it just didn't happen. So that basically makes you think, could we be following the wrong bird? Is there something else that may be operational out there? I've been intrigued by diseases ever since we lost the blue quail over most of West Texas back in about 1988. And it intrigues me that that we as wildlife biologists just rarely give disease even a consideration. It's just, hypothetically, it's just not a problem. And I'm just questioning, and I've talked with several colleagues out here in different places. And so we sat down on January 19th and kind of charted a roadmap to give the investigation of disease. When I say disease, I'm including parasites, I'm including potentially contaminants, that kind of thing, anything that could cause problems with quail. And we sat down and plotted a roadmap that we think is necessary to look at disease and give it an honest consideration.
Okay. Now, are there any specific diseases or parasites that you think could be a culprit here?
We've got some candidates, so we've got some suspects. Our colleagues at Texas Tech have been looking pretty seriously at West Nile virus over the last year or so, and they found some evidence of birds that have West Nile virus. There at our Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch, we've been looking at avian influenza, and we found some positives to that. We don't really know how to evaluate the context of that. When you're the first ones to really look for it in quail and you find it, it seems newsworthy. But again, when we're finding incidents of, let's say, 5 to 10% of the birds maybe have exposure to one of these diseases, is that normal background, or is that something to write home about? We've been doing some work with the Texas A&M Kingsville for the last 2 years at the research ranch on some parasites, and two stand out as potentially meaningful. One is eye worms. Quail can get little worms about the length of your fingernail and about the half the size of a pencil lid. Get those behind their eyeball and inside their eyelids. Mm-hmm. And you can appreciate that if quail are sitting out there scratching their eyes with as many threats as a quail has, that's not a good thing for quail.
Right.
And our quail at the research ranch have the highest number of eye worms reported in the scientific literature. So again, we're concerned about that. We don't really know how to interpret that. Also, quail have two little blind guts coming off of their, right at the junction of their small and their large intestine called ceca. And the function of the ceca is digestion of high-fiber type foods, almost like a rumen in a deer or a cow.
Mm-hmm.
And those two cheek are about the size of your little fingers. And when those get crammed full of worms, and some of ours, the number, the highest number so far is 500 that the graduate student has found in a cica.
Hmm.
And that just basically blocks the cica. So if it's important for digestion of high-fiber foods, which would be more likely to be incurred during the late winter, like we're in right now, could be potentially significant. Again, we just don't know.
Huh. Quite a few things to ponder right there.
Another thing is, I've been getting reports of dead birds. Now, I always ask hunters and landowners to keep me in mind when they find a dead quail, and typically I'll get two or three reports a year. This year, I've had at least 10 reports of people finding a dead bird on a roost, or somebody's dog brings them a dead bird that was not shot, and several things like that. So there is some coincidental information that, again, makes us wonder if something else is going on.
Well, I know you guys will continue to do your research to try to get to the bottom of this, but is there anything we can do as hunters, or is it pretty much just a waiting game now?
Well, I think it's a waiting game from the hunter standpoint, but it's also keep your antenna up, your eyes open, your ears alert. If you see birds, find birds, hear about birds that were abnormal, that could be very lightweight. Obviously, with hunting seasons over now, you're not going to be handling many birds, but we'll be continuing this for the next 2 years. Our Quail Research Ranch there at Roby has committed $2 million of our treasury. That's basically shooting the pot, and we've dedicated that to try to get to the end of this. So we'll be doing a lot of research with our colleagues at Texas A&M, Caesar Clayburgh Institute, Texas Tech, and forming this team, and hopefully finding out some information that will be beneficial to us.
Man. Honestly, this is pretty disappointing news for the already declining number of Texas quail hunters.
I don't want to be gloom and doom, because we've had enough bad news if you look at the demise of the quail situation. So in many respects, if we lose any more quail hunters, we're really in a tailspin in that situation. I think we've got to be cautious and be appreciate, and in other words, judge with heightened awareness the plight that quail are in. We've got to do everything we can on our own 80 acres and 8,000 acre leases and so forth to make sure that we're not the cause. In other words, we know a lot about quail management. We're just suggesting there may be something in the cards out there that we really haven't taken care of. So we don't want to do anything that would accelerate the decline of quail. And again, support your local quail operation. In other words, help us try to find out what the answer is here.
Yes, sir. Y'all be sure to check out the website, quailresearch.org. Dr. Rollins, thanks for everything that y'all are trying to do to get to the bottom of this, and thank you so much for your time this morning.
Well, thank you, Cable. Appreciate the opportunity, and if any of you listeners ever have a chance to get out towards Roby, stop by and see us at the Rolling Plains Quail Research Ranch.
We'll check in with you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Well, there he goes, the authority on Texas quail populations. We do have to squeeze in a quick break. When we come back, we're talking hog-dogging Texas style with my buddy Chris Williams. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I was praying. It took me away like I was the only one to blame. Guilty, they said, railroading me on a one-way train. Alamo Cycleplex didn't become South Texas number one volume dealer overnight. We did it by providing the best deals and awesome customer service for over 40 years. We carry Honda, Polaris, Suzuki, Kawasaki, and Yamaha, including units for both street and dirt. And of course, Polaris Rangers, Razors, and ATVs. No matter what you're looking for, Alamo Cycleplex will accommodate you. We even have the bad to the bone Polaris Ranger crew on sale today. Call 210-696-2000 or visit us at alamocycleplex.com. Hey y'all, with deer season having come and gone, it's time to start thinking about spring turkey, and there's no place better to bag a big gobbler than McPherson 4M Ranch. We roost hundreds of turkeys in our dry riverbeds lined with tall oak trees. Hunts are $700 and includes your gobbler, lodging, meals, and guide service. Hunters also enjoy our nightly bonfires and five-star amenities. Visit McPherson4MRanch.com or call 210-822-2915. Also offering exotic hunts for axis deer, black buck, and antelope, go to McPherson4MRanch.com today. Hey, outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising. So let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. The comfortable vent back shirt is offered in 10 great colors and performs like no other. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Another Texas whitetail season is in the books, but that doesn't mean it's time to put down the bow or rifle. Located in Mason County's beautiful hill country, Star S Ranch offers world-class accommodations and the finest exotic hunting in North America. Offering hunts for axis, black buck, fallow deer, and audad, Star S Ranch even has super exotics such as sable, gemsbuck, and scimitar horned oryx. Visit star-s-ranch.com or call 830-285-8753 to book your hunt today. That's 830-285-8753.
Good morning. This is Douglas Mason with the Texas Dog Hunters Association. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Marvin Gaye plays on the radio. Our bodies have worked up an appetite. One more look, it's gonna happen tonight.
All right, that's a feel-good tune there from Austin, Texas's own 80-proof band. Bringing us back from break here this morning, I'm Cable Smith. And I appreciate y'all tuning in. Well, this past weekend, y'all, I had the opportunity to go on my first ever hog dog hunt. Let me tell you, it was an awesome experience, one that I will not soon forget. And y'all can actually see some of the photos from the hunt on my homepage at LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com. This all came about through my new friend, Chris Williams, who runs a site called GoHogDog.com. And I'm thrilled to have Chris join us this morning to talk about our hunt and the great sport of hog dogging in general. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Well, it is an absolute pleasure. Now, 1 week ago today, you and I were having some good old-fashioned fun.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. I'm glad that for your first time going out there that we had such a successful hunt.
Oh, man, it was an absolute blast, and we're going to get into all the details of our hunt here in a second, but first, tell us about your background as a hog dogger. Now, when did you get your first dog?
It's probably about 13, 14 years ago. My first actual hog dog, didn't realize it was going to be a hog dog, but it was going to be our first pet. My wife and I had just gotten married, and we got our first pet. It was a Rhodesian Ridgeback and Pit Bull Cross, and I had a bunch of buddies that were getting into the hog dog, scene back then, and he wasn't necessarily supposed to be a hog dog, but I tried him out anyway, and turned out we made one of the most unforgettable hunts ever with a good friend of mine, Bud Harding, at his house. We were just practicing some dogs, and I had my dog there, and a hog got loose from the pen there as we were, working some dogs and young dogs and such. And anyway, hog got loose, and everybody turned dogs loose, of course, to take off after this hog. And turns out two of my buddies' dogs and my dog's name was Bully, ended up being the only three that stayed with this hog. And we ended up catching him, maybe a mile or so from the place there. So he turned out to be a pretty good little hog dog, and I guess that kind of got me hooked. And Bud subsequently after that gave me my first Catahoula, which was, supposed to be the real deal hog dog. And just kind of went from there. It's been a blast and a great pastime to actually, enjoy and pass along to other people and my boys and as well.
Okay, so that's how it all got started. Now, Chris, how many dogs do you have right now today?
Right now I've got probably about about 8 dogs or so. I've got a few, young dogs, young pups that are still, growing, and we'll start working with them later. But I've got probably about, 4 or 5 good grown dogs that, you consider a decent hunting pack, to take hunting.
Right on. And I got to see most of those dogs in action the other day. Let's talk about Go Hog Dog here for a second. You fell in love with the sport, like you mentioned, 13 or 14 years ago. You've got your own dogs now, your full throttle, and that subsequently led to the creation of your website, GoHogDog.com. texasdoghunters.com. You've got lots of great information, video, and photos on there, but what's in it for you? Why did you create this website?
Really, there was not a whole lot in there for me, per se, to begin with. It was just more of an outlet to kind of, get the, information on this, type of hunting out there for people to see. And it really kind of a place for, my friends and I to kind of brag, really, I guess, about, hunts that we made and hogs that we caught and, show off our dogs and things of that nature. As the years have progressed, obviously there's lots of things that are, lots of people that are coming against, our type of hunting. And and so it's, and in my opinion now, it's kind of turned into more of an information site. It's to show that it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good sport or a good, thing. It's not, we're not out there hurting, animals. We're not out there to, be mean or cruel to any kind of, to the hogs or to the dogs. In fact, it's something we do before we hunt. A lot of times we get ready to go. We'll even pray, that, hey, we're not having any injury to man or dog, or, we can catch hogs and everyone have a safe hunt. And, we strive for that. But the site itself is just more of a, it's just a site to show off, showcase our dogs and the hunts that we've made. But then also just kind of make people aware that it's not a bad thing. It's not something to be afraid of, and it's not something to actually fight against, but actually fight for.
Yeah, and it seems like so many people are so quick to forget that this has been going on for thousands of years, the relationship between man and dog, and man using dogs as a tool to help them hunt for food. And we're not asking these dogs to do something that they don't, A, love to do, and B, weren't bred to do.
Sure, absolutely. No, I agree completely.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about these dogs. Now, basically, it's been you and then your longtime running buddies, Bud and Bill, whom we hunted with the other day.
Yes, sir.
And I know a lot of these dogs are primarily Catahoulas with a little bit of red tick hound in them, and that all started with your friend Bud.
The main dogs that we first got into this were Catahoulas. As we went along, we realized, the Catahoulas were good for, a certain type of hunting and job for the most part. They're not such a, you'll come across them every now and then that'll have a good nose that will get out in range, like a hound will, but those are a little more rare. The Catahoulas are generally a little more short range. And so to get the nose on a dog that you want, that can really get out there and find a lot of hogs, Bud bred a little red tick hound into some of his line of dogs. And from there, we've come across some pretty good line of dogs there that will go out and, basically hunt hogs and find them all day long and have to just grab them up and, to make them quit. They'll just keep going.
Right.
Most of the dogs we run are close to, a full Catahoula or they may have a little touch hound in them.
Okay. And now the dog that really ranged the farthest on our hunt and kind of stole the show was a Catahoula of, I believe, Bill's, named Patty.
Yeah, Patty. Uh-huh. Sure was. Actually, Patty, it goes back to a real pretty famous dog named Sugarfoot that was owned by Bud. And anybody that's been in the hog dog world that went to any competitions will probably remember Sugarfoot. He was pretty well-bred dog that also was a very good competitor, and he produced a lot of really good dogs in competition and also just, hunting woods dogs. He came from a pretty good line of woods dogs.
Man, I love talking about hunting dogs. Unfortunately, we do have to take a break, though, so that we don't have to take one in the middle of rehashing the details of our awesome hunt from last week. Chris, you're good to stick around for another segment, right?
Absolutely.
Sweet. Well, we will be right back with more. From Chris Williams, we are talking hog dogging this morning. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Be gonna tree any coon or catch any hog, been any steer in sight. He'll watch over your youngins and defend them until he breathes his last breath. Now, I've seen a few dogs in my day, but I ain't seen nothing quite like them yet.
Listen up, ticketheads. When you harvest that Walworthy trophy, there's only one choice, Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com.
Listen up, y'all. The Wild Hog Explosion is coming to Bandera, Texas this March 18th and 19th. Festivities include the Wild Hog Catch, DTBA Barbecue Cook-Off, Bicycle Rodeo, Arts and Crafts, and of course the All-Bike Rally at Poker Run. It's the one-of-a-kind Wild Hog Explosion, March 18th and 19th in Bandera. Visit wildhogexplosion.com or call 803-796-4447 today. It's Wild Hog Explosion. It's the event you don't want to miss. Check out the Wild Hog Explosion at wildhogexplosion.com.
You might already know that Tom Benson Chevrolet is celebrating 55 years in the automotive business, but you probably don't know that they're also avid hunters and sportsmen, owning and operating the award-winning Benson Farm and Ranch that has produced some of the most outstanding trophy bucks in South Texas. Come by Tom Benson Chevrolet and check out the great deals on certified pre-owned 2010 Silverado pickups, Suburbans, and Tahoes with low mileage and extended warranties. So stop by Tom Benson Chevrolet. They're over at 9400 San Pedro, just two blocks north of Loop 410, and tell them Cable Smith sent you. Alrighty, landowners, are you sick and tired of having your pastures rooted up by those nasty feral hogs? Tired of losing calves and livestock to coyotes and bobcats? Then call on the pros at Nueces Helicopters. They specialize in predator control and cattle herding. Want an idea of how many deer are on your place? Nueces Helicopters also does game surveying and aerial photography. Call Avery Kibbe at 361-537-7703 or check them out at NuecesHelicopters.com and let the pros help you. Visit NuecesHelicopters.com. There's a Texas-sized buzz rippling through the fishing industry as Brass and Blades lures have taken center stage. State-of-the-art engineering offers a unique double hook, custom blade, exclusive anti-roll bend design, and even a semi-flex hook joint that bends with the movement of the fish. Brass and Blades boasts the premier lead-free buzz and chatter baits on the market. Check out Brass and Blades lures at www.brassandblades.com. Made for real fishermen by real fishermen. It's the bait with twice the bite. Visit brassandblades.com and see for yourself today.
Hey, it's Rob Olson. I'm the president of Delta Waterfowl, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Grave digger, when you dig my grave, could you make it shallow so I can feel the rain? Grave digger.
Oh, yeah, a little Willie there for you this morning. Grave digger is the name of that one. And couldn't be more appropriate as we are visiting with a grave digger of sorts. My buddy Chris Williams is here, and he has sent many a feral hog to its grave, so to speak. Chris is the owner and operator of GoHogDog.com, and he was nice enough to invite me on my first hog dog hunt last weekend. And I tell you what, it was an absolute blast. We gave you all a little background prior to the commercial break, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into the details of our hunt. Now, Chris, we had about four or five Catahoulas in each group that you guys ran.
Yes.
Okay, and then you and your friend Bill were each handling a catch dog, which was either a pit bull or an American bulldog.
Yeah, the way we hunt, you know, I know different people hunt different ways. The style we choose to hunt, we use a leading catch dog, and the rest of the dogs that are run loose are, you know, bay dogs or help dogs or strike dogs. And the strike dog is just the one that actually goes out and finds a track and, you know, goes out and actually strikes, you know, the scent and the hog. Subsequently will start barking at the hog, you know, and that kind of signals the rest of them that hadn't found that hog or maybe off hunting somewhere else for them to, you know, go to that same dog. And then they help out and they bay, which, you'll hear that term a lot of times, you know, the hogs were bayed up. Well, obviously, you know, a bay is just a piece of water surrounded by three sides. And the same concept, a hog gets surrounded by these dogs, they start barking, and they contain him, you know, by barking and holding him in one area until we get there with the bulldogs and we lead them in, thus the term lead in the catch dog. And we're there or very close to there whenever we cut the bulldogs loose. You know, they'll catch the hog and you know, on the ear, and we'll go in behind and contain the situation there, I guess you could say, and, you know, grab the hog, flip it over, and get the dogs all chained up, and everybody stays a little safer that way, we believe. And so, and of course, at the same time, we run cut collars, just, you know, protective collar, protective gear on all of our bay dogs and strike dogs, and then on the bulldog, who generally gets in there a little more tenaciously, we put a cut vest or the catch vest on the bulldogs themselves that keeps them from, you know, protected from getting cut or hurt, you know, from the hog as they're catching.
Right on. And now on our hunt, on the first hog, they bait him up in a little creek bottom, and we actually didn't get there to see the entire bay. The dogs were kind of far away. The second boar, however, they bait up basically in front of a tree and surrounded it there. And the cool thing was is we got to see both catch dogs in action on that one. And once the catch dogs went in there, boom, hit that boar and latched on, then all the dogs kind of bum-rushed the hog at one time.
They do kind of help out, and that definitely is a plus when you have, when you've got a bigger hog, you know, when the other dogs that are there can kind of grab hold and latch on and just hold it, you know, still so that it doesn't get away. It makes it easier for everybody, obviously. I think you even mentioned this coming away from the hunt. You said, you know, didn't realize how much of a team effort it is. You know, every dog plays its part, and the people play their parts as well. But the bulldog, when he goes in there, it's nice to know that when he catches that he's not alone. You know, he's got a couple of buddies and friends to help out and help hold that hog till we get everything, you know, taken control of. So, Yeah, that's sometimes – now, not all the dogs are that gritty. They call it, you know, a gritty dog when they get in there and grab hold and catch. But generally, once the bulldog gets there – and, you know, it's kind of like having your big brother show up at a squabble. you get pretty bold and pretty confident whenever your big brother gets there. So I think that's probably the mentality of a lot of those bay dogs. They see big brother coming, the bulldog, and once he catches, they're like, oh, yeah, I can get this. I can take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they tend to help out a little bit.
And that entire, you know, team aspect of the style of hunting was really my favorite part of it and something that I was not expecting.
Sure.
It's like every dog has his own role to play. Every person has something to do, whether it's carrying a satellite or tracking, you know, equipment for the dogs or a lead or whatever it is. Everybody has something to do. And once the hog's bait up and the people actually get there, that intensifies because somebody's got to go in there and either grab the back legs or pin the hog down by its neck. It's usually two people if it's a big hog. And now on our hunt, we did end up harvesting the hogs with a knife.
Yeah, smashing with a knife, yeah.
And a lot of times that's left up to the landowner if you're going to run dogs on it. Sometimes they want you to dispatch the hogs. Sometimes they don't care if you catch them and release them.
Sure.
Now, on our hunt, I did have the honor of dispatching these hogs with a knife. And let me tell you, you know, whether it's drawing back on a huge buck or, you know, seeing a flight of 15 mallards land in your decoys, whatever it is, we do a lot of stuff in the outdoors because it's a big adrenaline rush. That doesn't make it wrong. And I got to be completely honest and say that going in there with just a knife and that second hog weighed about 150 pounds, that was one of the biggest adrenaline rushes and most intense moments I've ever experienced in the outdoors.
we take a lot of guys hunting, and we have over the years taken guys out. Then they call and say, hey, we want to go hog hunting, and, you know, we want to bow hunt. We want to, you know, rifle hunt a little bit, maybe spot and stalk. And then if you guys can take us, you know, with the dogs a few times, man, that'd be great. You know, we want to come in this weekend or whatever. Inevitably, when they get in there, they go sit on the stand the first morning. They come out. We take them hog hunting in the middle of the day, and that's all they want to do the rest of the time they're there. They think the hog hunting is the coolest part of, you know, catching hogs and killing hogs. Like, I mean, that, you know, or knifing them, however that, you know, they do it. But inevitably, they think that hunting with the dogs is the biggest adrenaline rush and the most rewarding, you know, experience of all the different types of hunting with hogs, you know, that we have here in Texas. But it is definitely that, and quite a lot of fun as well. So,
oh my gosh, there's no doubt. And by the way, thanks for letting me christen your new knife. I mean, that was really nice of you.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. I didn't even think about it, really. I had just gotten that knife, and you were coming in, and I told you, you know, if you needed a knife, you're welcome to have it. And really didn't even, I guess it didn't even set with me until later on. I thought, oh, yeah, I guess that's right. It's the first time I've actually used it. So, yeah, you definitely did a great job of that, for sure.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. I mean, I felt pretty confident with that new cold steel in my hand. Now, Chris, something else that we need to make sure everyone understands about hog dogging is that it's really a very family-friendly sport.
Yeah.
You had your teenage son, Reese, out there, your brother-in-law, Ryan, running the camera, and Bud had his eighth-grade granddaughter out there with us as well.
Yeah.
And the thing that really separates it from other styles of hunting is, you know, if you only have three guys, well, that's plenty, but if you have 10, the more the merrier. It's not going to hurt you.
Sure. I have if you're able to visit the website there, you'll see on the top banner, there's a picture of several guys behind a very large boar. That boar was actually caught on the same place that you and I went on this past weekend. And the gentleman in there you'll see in the middle, the older gentleman, was, I think he was 80-plus years old. His son was there, and his grandson was there. It was a complete family, you know, deal. They had never done it before either, and you know, it is a great experience. Obviously, you know, with so much being done to, you know, take away some of our rights of different types of rights for hunting, not just, you know, hunting with dogs, but you know, other types as well, other areas of hunting as well. I think it's very important that, you know, we pass along the, you know, not just the tradition, but pass along the concept, you know, of hunting, and the fact that, you know, it is a right that we have here in the United States, and that we should fight for it. And obviously the fight begins at home. You pass along those ideas and things to your children. And again, like you said, it's a family thing that you can go out and do, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh man, I cannot wait to go again. Let me tell you.
We'll be glad to take you again. That was a lot of fun.
Well, you know, I'm going to hold you to that. Now, let's backtrack here for a second because, like you mentioned, it is our right to use dogs to hunt with in this country, especially in the Lone Star State. And you've got a lot of great stuff on your website, including some links to organizations like Texas Dog Hunters Association, which we're both members of. And TDHA is a great organization. No matter whether you own a pit bull, a Catahoula, a Lab, or a Brittany, it doesn't matter. They are looking out for the rights of all hunting dog owners. Now, you've also got a few other links on there as well, if you wanted to go ahead and plug them real quick.
Yeah, you know, there's Texas Dog Hunter Association, which is www.tdha.org.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Lone Star Working Dog Association. There's also another group. It's not really an association, but it is a group that we're, you know, kind of just, you know, hog hunters together. There's a couple websites for that. There's East Texas Hog Doggers. And there's also Lone Star Hog Doggers. And but the associations, you know, I'd encourage anybody to get involved in them. I mean, they're just like, you know, any other association like the NRA or whatever. TDHA.org and Lone Star Working Dog Association, they're fighting for the rights, you know, to retain the rights to, you know, continue to hunt with your dogs. And that, you know, there's a lot of laws and bills that are coming up. You know, people are trying to take that right away from, you know, the hunters of the state. And so, you know, I think it's important that you band together, unify together. You know, one of the, you know, mottos of Texas Dog Hunter Association is that there's strength in numbers. Obviously, we have a greater voice, the more people that are a part of those associations. And so, you know, I think it's very important to be a part of that. You know, just, I mean, obviously, you can't complain unless you're voting. You know, if you don't vote, you don't have a right to complain. I think that, you know, you shouldn't be able to complain a whole lot either in a certain area like hunting with dogs if you're not a part of an association that's fighting for the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And so and I think it's very important to be a part of that. And there's a lot of information on those websites, too, to keep you aware of upcoming bills and legislation and, you know, just different things that you can be involved in to help out the cause.
You preach it, brother. I tell you what, if you have a hunting dog, you need to be involved with at least one of these organizations. Chris, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time this morning and how much I enjoyed being able to tag along with you guys last weekend. It was truly an experience that I will not forget. It exceeded all my expectations, and I can't wait to do it again, man.
Oh, absolutely. We enjoyed it, too. It was a pleasure taking you, and again, like you mentioned, look forward to the next time.
All right, buddy. Well, we will talk to you very soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Here goes, y'all, my new friend and GoHogDog.com's Chris Williams. And by the way, the video of our hunt should be up on both of our websites sometime next week. Thanks to Ryan for doing such a great job on the camera, and also a special thanks to Bill and Bud for letting me tag along as well. We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with one of my favorite regulars on the show, Army Bass Anglers founder and operator Major Cody Robertson. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
I've been a rambler most of my life. Been across Texas looking for my paradise. I've been to Austin and East San Antone. That's right, my friends, let me tell you. I'm Texas to the bone, that's right. Yeah, I'm Texas to the bone, that's right, I am. You know I am Texas to the bone.
A Place to Shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring five different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes. Located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio. Call 210-628-1888. A Place to Shoot, open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888. Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting! Southern Deer Stands' product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Spring is almost here, and that means it's time to focus on your spring wildlife planting needs. And nobody knows wildlife seed like Pogue. A Texas-based company, choose from Pogue's great lineup including Spring Buck Buffet, Bird Buffet, and Be Wild Bundle Flower. Visit PogueAgri.com to see their entire collection of seed options. The choice is simple. Choose the Texas name you can count on. Call Pogue at 830-583-3456 or go to www.pogueagri.com today. Alrighty, landowners. Are you sick and tired of having your pastures rooted up by those nasty feral hogs? Tired of losing calves and livestock to coyotes and bobcats? Then call on the pros at Nueces Helicopters. They specialize in predator control and cattle herding. Want an idea of how many deer are on your place? Nueces Helicopters also does game surveying and aerial photography. Call Avery Kibbe at 361-537-7703 or check them out at NuecesHelicopters.com. And let the pros help you. Visit NuecesHelicopters.com. You might already know that Tom Benson Chevrolet is celebrating 55 years in the automotive business, but you probably don't know that they're also avid hunters and sportsmen, owning and operating the award-winning Benson Farm and Ranch that has produced some of the most outstanding trophy bucks in South Texas. Come by Tom Benson Chevrolet and check out the great deals on certified pre-owned 2010 Silverado pickups, Suburbans, and Tahoes with low mileage and extended warranties. So stop by Tom Benson Chevrolet. They're over at 9400 San Pedro, just two blocks north of Loop 410, and tell them Cable Smith sent you.
This is Justin Bowerman. You're listening to Cable Smith on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
If you're low on cash, don't speak it. If your job is a grind, don't let it show. The devil has ears to hear you, and that's the only way he's gonna know. We've all got our own burdens, and they have their time and place. So take the load you carry and leave it at the front gate.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to this morning's presentation. Getting a little help from my good friend Justin Bowerman there. Leave it at the front gate is the name of that one. Well, this segment is proudly brought to you by Texas Hunting Company and my good buddy Brian Moore. Brian is a licensed dealer for Game Capsule Feeders, manufactured right here in Texas. He has both 1,000 and 500-pound game capsule feeders. You can save $200 off the price of the 1,000-pounder by visiting his website at texashuntingcompany.com, or you can give Brian a call at 214-808-5055 to get your revolutionary game capsule feeder today. Well, my next guest is no stranger to the show. He's a patriot and also the founder of Army Bass Anglers, Major Cody Robertson. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Hey, glad to be back, Cable. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. I know you keep a busy schedule, and that's been the case here lately. You've been filming a couple commercials for World Fishing Network.
Hey, World Fishing Network and Versus today, we're actually shooting a commercial for the Warrior and Family Support Center, and it's going to air on actually three networks, World Fishing Network, Time Warner, the Texas Channel, and Versus here real shortly.
Very cool. Well, you know, you got that going on, and then a couple weeks ago, you were out at the Classic as Army Bass Anglers had the honor of opening the launch.
No, that was exciting. You know, I don't know if anybody knows. I'm sure a few people do, but that was actually our third Classic. Three consecutive Classics in a row. We've been the ceremonial launch boat at the Classic for all 3 days, and it was as always, it's always exciting. I mean, you get to be right down there with guys like KBD and Mike Iaconelli and hanging out with them, waiting for it to kick off, and you know, and we actually got the invite to do the fourth one, so it looks like it's going to be four in a row.
Very cool, very cool. But you mentioned when we spoke last week, you mentioned that you had a couple of funny stories to share with us.
So, well, I got a good one this time, and the guy's going to probably kill me for telling it, but it has to be told. This is so funny. You know, every year we get to do the ceremonial launch piece. Well, this year is the first, actually January was the first full year that we had coalition members helping us in our mission. And so we started an incentive program for the coalition guys, basically the guy that busts his tail the hardest, helps raise awareness, participates in events, et cetera, fundraisers. Well, he gets an all-expense trip paid to Classic. And this year's winner was Army Bass Angler Coalition Pro David Burns out of Nevada. And so he's super excited. He can't wait to get there. And now he's down on the dock. He's, you know, he's taking pictures with KVDs, meet Mike Iaconelli, Skeet. I mean, just painting the picture for you. I mean, he's getting his mind blown at this point. And so anyways, he gets to be on the boat. He gets to do the ceremonial launch all 3 days in a row. Well, the cameras are flashing, the whole nine yards, you know, he's kind of got that, you know, that shock and awe factor going on. Mm. And so there's a camera on the boat, they do the launch, they come back, and as we come back and everybody's left to go fish, and we come back to start putting the boats away, there's usually four or five camera crews there, they want photos, they want interviews, etc. So they ask all of us to get on the boat, we all line up on one side of the boat, and to take a picture. So we're trolling the boat around, and we come back around to the dock, and the cameras are flashing, you know, ka-ching, ka-ching, and they're all going off. And this is, so they're like, okay, we're all done. And so we all start to step off the boat. Now, mind you, the camera crews have not left yet. As we all step off the boat, that poor guy, David, steps onto the dock, and guess what happens? I mean, you can just guess. Not only does his feet go flying up into the air, He goes down into the water, off the dock, cameras are everywhere, people are still there watching, and he goes into the water, and not only does he go in, he goes up under the dock. So now he can't get out, he has to come back up under, and everybody, he's flailing his arms, you know, like he's drowning, and everybody's yelling at him, stand up. So he had a classic he will never forget. So that I just had to share that with everybody, you know, poor David, but I guarantee you he'll never forget that classic, that's for sure.
Awesome, that's great. So unfortunate for him, but funny for everyone else, is, you know, especially since nothing was hurt other than his pride.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine you get to go to the Bassmaster Classic, you're meeting everybody, cameras are going everywhere, and you know in the back of your mind on a wet, slippery dock, the one thing that's going through your mind constantly is don't fall in or don't knock anybody in. And what happens? You know, I'm surprised it didn't happen last year at the previous Classic because the dock was actually iced over last year in Alabama. And this year it wasn't iced over. You know, we just had that big, gigantic fog delay. So
Yeah. Just
still slippery. But I thought it would have happened last year. And this year it just happened to be one of our guys.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Well, so how just to kind of tell us a little bit about the interaction with some of the anglers. And you got there on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And tournament started on Friday morning. So you guys were part of the media day on Thursday, right?
Yeah, you know, this time we didn't get to do the media day. Years past, we've done the media day. This year, we didn't get to do the media day because, you know, everybody knows most of us are active duty. So believe it or not, if you've been watching the news, we've been pretty busy keeping up with world affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get to get there as early as we normally do, so we didn't get to participate in media day this time. The bulk of the team actually got there pretty late on Thursday night, just early enough for us to do a recon of the put-in, make sure we did a little quick rehearsal, had everything squared away with the crew from ESPN and BASS, and it was game on. So we kind of missed out on a little bit of the media day, but we got to play catch-up with all of our friends that are on the Elite Series, you know, out there on the dock that morning and just shooting the bull with those guys, which is always fun.
Which guys on the Elite Series are you really good friends with?
On the Elite, we're pretty good friends with. Actually, we're great friends with Zell Rowland, Alton Jones, Kevin Van Dam, Kelly Jordan. Oh my gosh, the guy from The Bachelor, Byron Velvick. Yeah, he's actually done a couple of charity events with us, and so.
Yeah, he's actually been on the show before. Byron's a great guy, but
we try to
talk about his bachelor days.
And actually, I've done some Apache flight training with Gary Klein. And so, you know, we've all, each one of us, Brent Holman, real close, him and Chuck Guthrie are real close with Kelly Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alton, me and him have crossed paths several times. His son actually fishes against us on the Bass Champ Series. And so we talk a lot. And plus, he's out of Waco, and we're in Texas. Yep. So, you know, we've got a lot of close friends that are on the Elite Series, and it's always fun. And then, you know, several of the guys that don't fish the Elites but fish the Opens and try to work their way up through, we've got relationships with as well. You know, Tony Sachery and Clark Ream and a couple other guys. And so.
Uh-huh. It's, you know, speaking of the Open guys, one of them finished fourth, Brandon Palahniuk. What a performance by that guy.
Yeah, I want to know. You know, it was really, I thought this Classic was far more exciting than the Classic in the past, aside from the fact that KVD, you know, got his fourth win.
And blew everyone away.
Yeah, and he blew everyone away. But what I thought was really interesting one is you had the whole storyline from the oil spill. How was the fishery going to hold up from all the, you know, what happened with the oil spill? And then you had the fog factor and the long drives to get to your fishing holes. So how was it? I thought there were so many unique circumstances to this Classic that you didn't have in the past that really kind of made for a great Classic this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of great underlying storylines. Also, you know, KVD, just not only did he just obliterate the field, but he set a couple records, most ever BASS wins.
Mm-hmm.
Past Roland Martin now with, he's got 20 wins all time. Tied Ricky Klun for mm-hmm. Bassmaster Classic titles. He has four of those. The guy is just on some kind of streak, I tell you what.
You know, I was having a philosophical discussion with a buddy of mine the other day, and, you know, this is going to sound kind of outlandish, but if you, I don't know if anybody, you know, I got a master's degree in business, and I spent a lot of time in business statistics, and if, and I predict, you know, not because KVD is who he is, I predicted KVD, and I predicted him based on my personal experience in dealing with business statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just kind of follow the logic for a second, are you familiar with PBR, Pro Bowl Riding?
Absolutely.
And, yeah, and if you ever watch the Vilnius Whalen Riders, they make the cut all the time for the final go-round, and they make the world championships all the time because they play the odds versus swinging, you know, for the fence. Well, a lot of guys, you know, the power guys who like to finesse fish, they get up there and they swing for the fence. You know, I'm going where the big ones are. I got, you know, either blow them away or go home kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got, you know, PBR, the Venezuelans. You look at all the American riders like Chris Shivers and those guys. They have that same type of mentality. If I don't score a 90-point ride, well, dang it. You know, I want a re-ride if I can't get a re-ride. Well, the Venezuelans will take that 75-point ride and guess where they are at the end of every year. They're at the, you know, in this case, i.e. the analogy, they're at the Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at fishing from purely a mathematical perspective, for the most part, Kevin Van Dam's a chunk and wine kind of guy. So if you sit there and you start thinking about how many times and how much water he's covering mathematically, I mean, all things aside, everything's equal. Let's just say all the anglers are exactly the same. They all have the same amount of fishing knowledge, and the only, I guess, tangible difference between them is their technique. You know, one's a power fisherman, one's a chunk and wine dude,
mm-hmm.
one guy, whatever. One guy's a purely topwater dude. Well, if you start looking at it from the total number of casts and how much water's covered versus a guy who likes to slow down and finesse fish, mathematically, just like in baseball, I'm going to play the statistics. I vote on Kevin Van Dam every time.
Yeah.
That's just me. You know, and somebody's looking at me like all cross-eyed, like I had something growing out of my forehead, but I'm just looking at it from a math point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The guy covers a buttload of water. Now it's throwing the fact that he knows what he's doing, you know. Oh, but I mean, if I was a betting dude, I'd bet on the guy every time.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, I actually looked for betting lines on the Classic, online betting lines, and I couldn't find any of them. But,
hey, there's our next million-dollar idea right there.
Yeah, no kidding. Put it. Bet it all on KVD.
Yeah, let's go to Vegas and start a Bassmaster Classic betting line. You know, bet online.
Yeah. What else you got coming up on the horizon for Army Bass Anglers?
Well, you know, the TV show's out, Big Bass Battle. Mm-hmm. And the show is going really well. Matter of fact, they're fixing to start airing the next eight episodes starting March the 7th. So everybody be sure to tune in. And
oh, real quick, just a reminder, day and time of the show.
Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Versus, and I believe it's at 1 o'clock.
Okay. And just set your DVRs. That's all
you
got to do.
Yep, exactly. Set the DVR. You'll be good to go. And then plus it airs 10 times a week, and I could not tell you what time.
Sure.
On World Fishing Network, and then it also airs two times a week on the Texas Channel and Time Warner.
Excellent.
So, yeah, there's 15 opportunities there for everybody to tune in and set their DVRs.
No excuses to miss
it. Yeah, exactly. No excuses. In the military, that'd be zero tolerance for missing a show.
Right on.
Matter of fact, do push-ups if you miss a show.
Oh, man.
So, no, we got that's coming up this weekend. This coming weekend, we're fishing on Oakley Big Bass Classic down in Conroe, so we'll be busy doing that. Plus, they're shooting another TV show that we're going to be a part of on that one. And then Veterans Outdoors, two of our episodes are going to air this spring on the Sportsman's Channel, where we take Matt Miles out and a couple of other guys out fishing on events just for them. A lot of fun there. And then we've got several Bass Champs events coming up. So very, very, very busy between now and then.
Very cool. Well, be sure to tell Mark Jones hi for me down at the Big Bass this weekend.
Will do. Matter of fact, I'll see him here in about 48 hours.
Nice. So. Y'all be sure to keep our servicemen and women in your thoughts and prayers. Army Bass Anglers, obviously, and in the coalition as well, have service people overseas fighting.
For sure. Matter of fact, right now, Al Pemberton is downrange. Sandy Silvis is downrange. Sergeant Major William Tager is downrange. I know I'm going to leave somebody out. Matter of fact, I think we've got five, maybe mm-hmm. six coalition and one pro staff downrange right now. Between the bulk of them now are actually going to Afghanistan. So I'm sure everybody's seeing what's going on over there. So definitely keep them in your prayers.
We will definitely do it. Major, it's been an absolute pleasure as always, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, Cable. It's always fun to be on y'all's show.
And we'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, take care, Hool.
Well, there he goes, the Lone Star Outdoor Show's own and Army Bass Anglers founder, Major Cody Robertson. What a great thing they've got going on. Founded right here in San Antonio, Army Bass Anglers has pretty much transformed into a nationally recognized fishing organization honoring our country's finest servicemen and women, who also happen to share our love for bass fishing. And let me tell you, there are some dang good ones in that group. And they really do live by their mission statement of support, defend, and fish. And we certainly do appreciate their service. Now, if you want to find out more about Army Bass Anglers, or maybe you know a service person who might like to get involved, you can check them out at armybassanglers.com. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for this morning. Thanks to all of our guests, Dr. Dale Rollins, Go Hog Dogs' Chris Williams, and of course, Major Cody Robertson. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. Next week, it's Pigman Brian Kwaka joining us, and you don't want to miss that because he's a good old boy that can flat lay down the hogs with the best of them. Here's a little Johnny Paycheck taking us on home. Until next week, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
She's the first thought in my mind each time I try to think. Let me tell you now, friend, don't take her, she's all I've got. Please don't take her love away from me. I'm begging you, friend, don't take her, she's all I've got. She's everything in life I'm ever gonna need.
Howdy, South Texas. Cable Smith here to tell you about Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing. USDA inspected and approved, Prusky's offers choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's Market, from our smokehouse to your house, the quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Listen up, y'all. The Wild Hog Explosion is coming to Bandera, Texas this March 18th and 19th. Festivities include the Wild Hog Catch, CTBA Barbecue Cook-Off, Bicycle Rodeo, Arts and Crafts, and of course the All-Bike Rally at Poker Run. It's the one-of-a-kind Wild Hog Explosion, March 18th and 19th in Bandera. Visit wildhogexplosion.com or call 803-796-4447 today. It's Wild Hog Explosion. It's the event you don't want to miss. Check out the Wild Hog Explosion at wildhogexplosion.com.
Hey outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising, so let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. The comfortable vent-back shirt is offered in 10 great colors and performs like no other. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.